Hi everyone and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. My guest this week is Josh Wilcher from the Plymouth Raiders of the BBL, the British Basketball League. Josh is Australian, but plays over there and is doing really well. I caught up with Josh just after his team's game against the Bristol Flyers that went down to overtime and they won by a point or two. A really good game, but in connection to Australia, Josh has played a bit of college in Wyoming, but also was a development player with the Melbourne Tigers back in 2011-12 season. He's got some great ideas about basketball and just how to play, and we talk about everything from his time with the Tigers and a couple of his teammates there, from Tommy Greer and Liam Rush, Matt Burston, Paddy Mills, Cam Dragar and others. Talk about what it's like to be a development player, you know, how he got into college and the BBL and just everything that's going on over there. The audio is a bit patchy, you know, because I obviously did this with the phone call with Josh in the UK, me being here, and so you will hear it kind of go from his phone to my microphone. A little bit jarring, but the main thing is Josh can be easily heard, and you know, that's the main thing. All right, guys, hope you enjoy. Follow me on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod. Send me a text or a question or email. You'll see my email on the Twitter account. And obviously with this sort of stuff, like and subscribe and all that sort of BS. Thanks, guys. Have fun.
How's everything after last night? I did watch the game.
Yeah, no, it was a good win. That's our closest rival, so it was a big game for us.
So as I said, I watched the last half and overtime, and I was really impressed. I lived in the UK for a while and had been to one BBL game before. That was years ago, and I don't remember much because I was drunk at the time. But I was very impressed with this game.
Yeah, I mean, I got here a few years ago now, and the league's really picked up. Like the bottom teams aren't as bad anymore, and it's sort of really evened out throughout. So, like, I think with the exposure they're getting, I think if anyone, I guess like yourself, that's tuned in for the first time, they're trying to show a product that makes you want to look again, you know?
It was a really polished product, and I think the Southeast Melbourne Magic could really take note of the way the your team, the Plymouth Raiders, black out the court and dress the games. They had the crowd in the black and the blue and the way they did the game, because they've got a very similar colour scheme. Plymouth have also got that green and black, much like the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix.
It was a big crowd.
And it was a nice.
That was good to get a win for them. Yeah.
Now there's a player on your team who I'm assuming is Lithuanian, Jonas something.
Oh yeah, he's Estonian. Yeah, Jonas the other line.
So he played a good game, but he got dunked on bad.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I didn't know whether he was Lithuanian or Latvian or from Eastern Europe somewhere. I didn't know where, because he's Jonas, but the name is spelled Jones, so J-O-N-E-S.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We just call him JJ because it's a bit hard to pronounce everything. Yeah.
The guy for Plymouth Raiders, your team, that I really liked was Dante Nicholas.
Yeah, I think he's playing Australia a little bit. He played in the old Seabull for Albury for one or two seasons. I believe it was two, but I think he's going to win league MVP. He's just been phenomenal this season.
And looking at the website, Dante is fifth in scoring behind a bunch of guys, but the guy on top of that is a guy by the name of Hassan Rashad. He's number one, and he plays for you guys. Was he injured or no longer on the team?
Yeah, he was sick yesterday, so he only played sort of spot minutes. So obviously that makes the job harder when you don't have like the league leading scorer. But yeah, he also played in the QBL. I actually played against him a couple of years ago, and he played in Seabull for Albury as well. So it's sort of a small world with guys that come to Australia and then come over here. You sort of see a lot of familiar faces.
So the way your situation works, your father is English, am I right?
Yeah. So I've got a British passport through him.
And your father, is he born in England or born in Australia and English by hereditary?
No, so my dad, I don't know him anymore, but he was born in England. I think he moved to Australia when he was two or three. So I had to sort of apply through the courts and stuff to get a birth certificate, but it worked out pretty well for me, luckily.
And Josh, what would be the biggest difference between playing in the BBL in England and playing here in Australia, both the QBL and the NBL? What would be the biggest difference in the style of play? Would it be the physicality or the athleticism?
Yeah, I mean, I guess with the state leagues, like the NBL 1 and Seabull and QBL, the difference that I've noticed is, one, we have more imports over here. So you can have up to three, I guess, Americans. Some use them for Australians have been over here as an import, but mostly Americans. And then you can have two extra EU passport players. So, like, Jonas is for us. So obviously with that, the clubs with the higher budgets will have all five spots sort of taken, you know, so they don't have to rely as much on the local English talent, because the local English talent can be hit or miss, but in the last couple of years it's been very strong, with a lot of British guys coming back from European leagues that want to be a part of the BBL because it is growing in stature. So I guess that if clubs take advantage of sort of the five imports and then have good locals, it sort of raises the level. So I think that's the biggest difference, in terms of obviously the Australian talent back home is very high, but we have two imports in the state leagues, and with NBL you get NBA caliber players, so it's hard to compare that. But with the state leagues, it's probably easy to compare, because just based on the imports, you know.
So you're playing for Plymouth. Are you based there? Do you live there as well, or do you live in another part of England?
Yeah, so I played 2 years here previously, and then I got married over here in August last year. So just bought a place in Plymouth. So
I'm
sort of stationed here now for the meantime.
And I mean, England is an odd place to find someone playing basketball. It's not known as a big basketball place, but you know, I've often thought, you know, someone like London is not that far from New York City. It's a sort of 4 to 6 hour plane ride, if I remember correctly. So, you know, certainly a lot closer than Australia, and I'm not too surprised that a lot of good players and a lot of talent have made their way to leagues like the BBL.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in the big cities that have had teams for years and years, it's, I guess, the exposure is quite there. Everyone sort of knows who you are and that sort of stuff. For the new teams to the league, it's probably the exposure isn't quite. Teams with a lot of heritage, and I think that's the big thing about, I guess, British people and especially British basketball is they love the heritage, and they love holding on to sort of that soccer culture where this is my club, this is who I go for. So you do get quite a good support, but in terms of basketball, it's obviously not the be all and end all over here, because everyone loves soccer and everyone wants to play soccer. But from what I've seen is that when you get people to their first game or just to a training session, they really do take to basketball and they want to keep coming back. And obviously, like you saw in our game on YouTube, that, you know, we do put on quite a good show, and the league's pretty tough, and it's sort of more of a spectacle than anything else.
And with the BBL and the game I watched, I was shocked by the athleticism. You know, a guy like on your team, like Donta Nicholas, or even your matchup on the Bristol Flyers, Jalen McLeod. Hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, Jalen McLeod, yeah.
You know, he was really, really quick. And would he be one of the quicker matchups you have to go up against?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, a lot of the teams have import point guards, and with that comes a lot of athleticism that sort of they bring in. So for me, as sort of an old school basketball player that doesn't really rely on that sort of athleticism, it is very, very difficult, but I try to do the best I can.
One thing I wanted to ask about with the BBL is, what kind of stuff do you guys, how do you play offensively with the pick and roll, and how do you defend it defensively? You know, so much of how you defend that and players' ability to defend that kind of defines their leagues. So my question to you is, what are you guys hoping to do out of the pick and roll at Plymouth?
I mean, for us defensively, we're big into ice, so on the side pick and rolls, we like to push it away from the middle. That's something that really no one else does over here, so we try and, I guess, be the best that we can be at that. For middle pick and rolls and that, we just sort of like a hedge and then get back. But depending who you're covering, like McLeod, like you saw yesterday, we might have to defend him a little bit different to who we play next week, you know. But most teams will sort of be more aggressive because they can, with the athleticism and the length that a lot of the imports bring in. So it's a little different over here than it is back home with the pick and roll stuff, because obviously with the talent that we've got here in the import spot, I guess everyone's just so versatile with their coverages.
My next question is, someone like Donta Nicholas, how does a player like that find his way from the United States to the BBL? What's the process there?
Yeah, well, he actually played for Plymouth a couple of years ago as well. The year that I left, he came in. So, and we played in the same league in Germany last year. So once again, it's quite a small world. So I guess he had a very good college career, and I think he, you know, had a couple of different pro gigs. But it's just a comfortable place to play down here. Like, you know, sort of the league. Once you've played it, it becomes comfortable, and that you know what you need to do to be successful at it. So I think it's a case for him of he's just having such a standout year that doors are going to open everywhere. So it's whether he wants to stay and you know, see what he can do here for the next few years, or if he wants to, you know, branch out and see what he can be.
At the minute, I'm rereading Andrew Gaze's book, A Kid, A Ball, A Dream, and in it he talks about how when he won the championship in the NBA with the Spurs in 99, he said the celebration was very much one night, and then they all went their own separate ways, you know, chasing another contract or going back to the Spurs or international. It was that immediate that they cut it off. And then he talked about how when he won the NBL championship, or both of them in the 90s, how there was a lot more celebration. It lasted for about a week. The team was together a lot longer. My question is, with the BBL, are you guys a close unit? And what's the sort of camaraderie like on the team?
Yeah, well, I mean, with Plymouth, when we're at station, we're the southernmost team. So our travel is very long. Like, we have to drive up to Newcastle, and that's a 9-hour trip just to get there and play, and then you've got to come back. So, yeah. So in terms of sort of gelling together as a team, it does make it quite easy for us because we're forced, you know, to sort of spend so much time together. But in terms of winning and sort of, or even losing and going your separate ways, it does come like that. As soon as the season's over, you're gone. But you spend so much time training and together that, you know, on those road trips that I guess you sort of gel with everyone. So with us, we have a really tiny group, and that's got us through a lot of close matches this season, luckily. But as I said, those long bus trips, you've got nothing to do but sit and talk to each other, so that's what we have to do.
Now, looking at the box score from last night against Bristol, you played pretty much the whole game, 45 minutes, the full game and overtime. Dunton Nicholas did about the same. Jonas played almost the full game as well. Is that common? Do you guys have a backup, or is it very common for you guys to play a whole game like that?
Yeah, I mean, usually it's not. Obviously, when it goes to overtime, you play a little extra time, but usually I'm around the 33-minute mark. But it's just that, I don't know if you've seen, but the playoff ladder is just so tight at the moment. So the last probably month, we've had to up our minutes for the sort of main starting guys, just because every game's so crucial. You know, like if you lose a game, you can drop two spots. If you win a game, you can go up two spots. So I guess with that comes a little bit more pressure to play a little longer. So we just gotta deal with it till we can secure a playoff spot.
You were saying how there's bigger clubs, and I'm assuming they're in London, but it must be fun playing for a sort of an outlier like Plymouth.
Yeah, there's London, Leicester, and Newcastle have the sort of big name associations.
So as you said, it must be fun playing for Plymouth, you know, a small town that's kind of an outlier to the rest of the league. It'd be a fun spot, because I actually followed the Irish League for a while, which is a very small spot. And I don't know if you've ever seen on YouTube a video called We've Got Game, which is about Irish basketball springing up out of nowhere. It's a fun little thing. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Send you the link, because it's just about
yeah.
The BBL, like, smaller, so it's just quite a little story about basketball springing up in a very unlikely situation.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely check that out.
On the other team that you played, Bristol Flyers, there was Michael Vigor, who is Australian or played in Australia as well. Do you guys are you known to each other, and do you guys kind of chat on court or anything?
Yeah, so we actually played Siebel together for Bendigo Braves years ago, and I was signed to go to Plymouth, and he has a he's Scottish, so he was born in Scotland, but he was raised in Australia. So he has those roots as well. So he signed for my team. We got really close, you know, as you do with Australians, sipping coffees together every day. So we sort of established a real good connection, and he came over with me to Plymouth, and then from there he moved to Bristol, and he's been there the last few years. So it's good to see familiar faces and guys that, you know, you've played with, played against, seen all over the world, you know. It is a very small community, the basketball one.
Now, coming back to Australia, I noticed that you're born in Notting Hill, but in Victoria. Notting Hill obviously being quite a famous destination in London, in England. But coming to Australia even more, I noticed that you went to Central Wyoming Community College, and I was just wondering, how did that come about?
Community Yeah, so I went to a junior college when I was 18, yeah.
Are you approached by an agent, or how does that fall into place?
No, so what happened was I made the state teams for our juniors, and one day I got a call from Metro State, which was the Division II school that a lot of Australians have gone to, in Denver, Colorado, and I was going to go there. I was set, but I got my grades back, and I just didn't have enough to get there. So that coach got me a junior college spot in Wyoming that they had links with. So I went over there, and unfortunately I got injured. So I sort of spent a lot of time just sitting down in Wyoming of all places, which is just a tad different from what you experience often. Yeah, so I came back and I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I tried out for the Tigers development spot because I was having a pretty good year in the Siebel for Sandringham Sabres, and I ended up getting that, luckily.
So then you go on to get that development spot with the Tigers. And again, how does that come about? Do they approach you after seeing you in the Siebel at college, or do you have an agent who approaches them?
Yeah, I mean, I had the assistant coach at the time was one of my junior coaches when I was coming up through the ranks. So it's sort of a small world there as well. But he sort of got me a tryout, and I went there, and they came and saw me play Siebel. And I guess it's a combination of who you know, tryouts, doing the right thing at the right time, and then you sort of end up getting the spot.
And that Melbourne Tigers team is a very unique team to join because I think it's the same time as the NBA lockout. So you would have played against Patty Mills at training?
Yeah, I got to chase him around for four months, I think it was. I tried to stay in front of him, but he's just another breed. He's amazing.
I can imagine. There's quite a funny list of characters on this team. I'm going to go through them and I'll ask you what you remember of them or how they are as a person. What about Tommy Greer? Tommy Greer is now the general manager of the South East Melbourne Phoenix. What was he like as a player and as a guy?
Yeah, I mean, as a guy, he was just amazing. He was exactly what you'd want in a leader at the time. You know, he was the captain of the team, and he was just someone that, I guess for me, what I took from him was just how to be the same person every day, you know, highs and lows throughout the season. He was just always Tommy, and that's someone that you could really look to and just think, well, if he's having a bad day, you'd never know because he never shows it, you know, and I think that was his biggest strength.
And what about someone like Cam Trigar?
Yeah, he's funny. He had an abbreviation and funny words for sort of every situation, so he's someone that's a competitor, and I've got to play against him in the QBL the last couple of years, so it's funny how you run into these guys down the track.
Because Trigar, he's now doing NBL commentary, and as you said, he's got a lot of quips and sayings and stuff. He's a very funny guy.
Yeah, he was exactly like that when he was playing. Yeah.
Here's one that you might know. I see you played with Matt Burston while there. I understand he's got a rather unique nickname. Do you know it?
No, I'm not sure. No.
I don't know anything about him, but I did hear on the Mark Worthington's Trash Talk podcast that he's got the nickname Big Shitty, and they didn't divulge how he got it.
No. I don't know that one. No.
And what about a guy like Liam Rush, who I remember being kind of unassuming, but I remember in his play, he was a guy who could really get off the floor. He was really super athletic and had great jumps.
Yeah, well, for him personally, he was probably the biggest, the biggest help to me. Like, I was a young guy. It was obviously my first year being a development player, and I started off really rocky. I don't know if I was in awe of the whole situation or if I... You know, it just took me a little bit of time to find my feet, but he was someone that used to take me to the side and just give me encouragement. And it was almost like when I did something good, it was great because you'd have him coming over and, you know, pat me on the back and just keep your ego going, because sometimes you have bad days, like everyone, you have bad days, but he was someone that really took his time to make me feel at one with everyone else, so that's something I really appreciated.
And my greater question is, what's it like being a development player in the NBL? Are you sitting down a lot? Do coaches take the time with you? Do you have one-on-ones? How does it work?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is tough. I was sort of the only one at the time. We had a guy called Owen Ottagy who was at the Institute at the time, so he would come back and forth as another development player. But for me, it was just me every day there with the guy. So we had a lot of little injuries and sort of niggling injuries and a lot of imports changing that year. Yeah. So for that, I had to step in and train basically every day, yeah. So in terms of games, I didn't really feature, you know. At the end of the season, I got to play a couple and that was great. But training, I really felt like I was helping the team, and personally I got a lot better just by going against the caliber of players that we had.
And as a development player, do they give you one-on-one training with the coaches, or it springs up where it does?
I mean, you have, you know, sort of individual shooting and that, but with the amount of training that you do, it's more you're learning off other guys and then what the coaches say, you know? So it's not really the one-on-one, it's more the how you go against everyone else.
Now, if I remember correctly, that year, the import player for Melbourne was Ubaka, and he was let go mid-season. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right, yeah.
Yeah, well, how does that happen? Does they come and tell you beforehand that he's let go, or one minute he's there and the next he's not? How does it work?
Yeah, I mean, it was years and years ago. I think with him it was sort of, you sort of got to training and he wasn't there. I think he had a lot of close guys on the team, so they probably knew before I did. But as a development guy, it's sort of like, well, we have one guy less today, so I was a little bit out of the loop. But, you know, it's like anything, you just got to roll with the punches, and if one guy goes down, you know another one's coming in, so you just got to keep trying to prove yourself against them.
And have you been watching much of the NBL over in the UK?
Yeah, absolutely. I got that NBL League Pass, NBL TV, whatever it's called, so I've been watching for sure.
And who's your team in the NBL? Do you have a team?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a team. Like, I've played with and against a lot of guys over the years. So in my Townsville QBL team, we had two guys that were playing, one for Illawarra and one for Adelaide this year. So it was good to see, you know, them, just how they went on from coming from Townsville with me. Jordan Jett for Illawarra and then Harry Folling for Adelaide.
What's Jordan Jett like as a guy? Has there been any conversation about maybe going to happen?
Yeah, no, he's dreads are definitely his thing, but he's a good guy. He's sort of quiet, but he's very funny. He takes a little bit of time to get to know him, but when you do, he's great. He's a good teammate. He's someone that you know that's going to, you know, go to war with you if you need him. He'll guard anyone from any position. He'll guard the bench if you need. He's just a good teammate.
He is, and I'm hoping he returns to Illawarra this year. And Harry Froling, by all accounts, quite a fiery sort of character, very, very individual kind of guy. What's he like?
I don't think you'd meet anyone else in the world that's the same as Harry. He's very unique. He's got his own way to do things. It's a very Harry way, and I guess you can either love him or hate him, but most of the time you love him.
And do you think he's got a good chance of being drafted in the upcoming draft? Do you know his whereabouts? Is he working out for anyone?
I know he's doing workouts. Like, I guess we tweet each other and message every now and then. He's just a good guy. I think he's got a major future ahead of him, and it wouldn't surprise me if he got drafted. With someone with that height, that skill set in that position, I think there's no reason why he wouldn't.
Now, Josh, going back to you, so you're kind of playing in Australia in the Development League, development player with the Tigers. What first puts you in touch with the BBL after you've gotten your citizenship to the UK? What happens there? How do you first get to the BBL?
Yeah, well, actually, I finished my year as a development player, and I was playing for Sandringham Sabres and Siebel, and then On the Monday, I applied for my British passport because I thought, you know, I don't really know what's happening with NBL stuff, if they want me back or not. So I know that I can get this passport, so I'll apply for it. On the Thursday, I believe, I got the passport in the mail, so it was really quick. I was like, fantastic, you know, here's another option. And on that day as well, I met with Tigers again, and they said they wanted me back. So I was like, sweet, you know, I've got this if I want to. I can go back with Tigers for another year. And then we played a game on Sunday against Albury at Sandringham, and I ruptured my Achilles. And it just seemed like everything dropped. So I lost basically everything, you know. So it was sort of the highs and lows in that week. I just never want to experience again.
And that Achilles injury, is that something you sustained in-game?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I just shot a foul shot. And then I just took a step to go up and guard the ball. And then I just felt this pop. I, like everyone says, you turn behind you because you think someone kicked it. And I just looked in there. And that big guy was behind me, but he was too far back. I was like, surely it wasn't him. And I sort of limped off the court. I thought it was a rolled ankle. And then you realise once you can't sort of feel that part of your body that it's something more.
And you've probably seen a couple of NBA guys have that same injury. I think Kobe was one late in his career. He had it. I'm just trying to think of who else.
I know DeMarcus Cousins just came back from one.
And what sort of physical rehab, do you put in to come back from something like that?
It's super extensive. I mean, you got to try and get all the scar tissue down. You just feel like you spend months and months just doing the same stuff of just stretching and trying to put your knee to the wall and just calf raises. It takes you months just to do a calf raise. So it's, in terms of that, it's very expensive I guess it's just excruciating because you don't have any sort of power in anything. So you just got to sit there and hope that you've got a little bit more stretch than you had yesterday, and it's just draining.
And who helped you with that rehab? Was it someone from the Siebel or the Development NBL, or did you just do it yourself?
Yeah, so Siebel, Sarah and Sabres, I was there linked with their sports physio there. So I was in and out of there. I mean, I was probably in there two to three times a week, just getting the scar tissue gone and stretching and everything.
Like running in a pool?
No, they just have to sort of massage it with that little needle-looking thing. It's quite painful, yeah.
That's brutal. Anyway, you feel like you got your experience back.
Yeah, I mean, it took some time. It's more mental than anything, because with the physical stuff, you know, I'm out for this long and it's going to take time, so you can sort of get past that. But mentally, it's like, well, I want to play. Everything else is fine with me besides my Achilles, and you just go through some dark days, some happy days, and it's very tough.
And have you been watching the NBA playoffs?
Of course, yeah.
You say how basketball's a small world. Like, did you ever come up against any of those guys who are now playing there, like someone like Ben Simmons who may have been around the scene?
No, so I went to the same high school as him, but I'm a little bit older, so I was working there, and he was in year 10, I believe. So it's funny, you just see guys that anyone just walking the halls, and now you turn on the TV and he's playing in front of that many people. He's such a big name. It's funny.
Was he even big back then?
Yeah, I mean, but as big as you can be as a year 10, you know, like everyone knew who he was, but he really is a small fish there, and now he's gone and he's the big fish in a big pond.
And when you say the same high school, did you go to the AAS?
No, this was Box Hill Senior.
And before, you said you just got married. Is that to an Australian girl or an English girl?
Yeah, it was. It's an English girl. She was actually a cheerleader on the Plymouth Raiders team when I first got here. So, very very basketball related story, I guess.
Now, the other thing I was going to ask you about is your style. You've got the hair spiked up, and you're quite fair, redheaded, much like myself. Obviously, in Australia, that attracts a bit of attention, but obviously in England, it's not so uncommon. Do you find that there's still that reaction similar to Australia?
Yeah, I mean, not really. I think obviously when you look the way I do, you get a little bit anyway, but not as much as you'd expect. But I think from guys from the other team, they sort of respect what I do on a court, so I don't have to deal with that much trash talk, luckily.
So looking at your resume as well, you also play with the Townsville Heat. So what's your basketball schedule like? So you'll play in the BBL till what month, and then you'll pretty much straight away pick up in the QBL?
Yeah, so we start September till like April, early May in the BBL, and then basically you go straight to the QBL until the end of August. So I think the QBL starts next week. So they're basically end of April till end of August, and then I'm just playing all year round. So you got to learn to look after your body, or else it becomes a bit of a grind.
So that's a pretty intense schedule. Is there anything you're doing to your body, like your secret recipe to maintain your physical health?
No, I mean, everything, sort of the weights, the pool when we can, you know, all that stuff that's sort of off court. When I was younger, it was more like, well, what can I do on court? Now it's like, well, what more can I do off court to make sure that I'm right all year round?
Do you watch your diet? Do you like protein up, sugars down?
Yeah, I mean, you got to watch what you eat, obviously, but luckily, because we train so much, I can get away with some sneaky pizzas every now and then.
And you're enjoying basketball and life in the UK and whatnot?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, everyone that sort of tunes in and watches, they can see what sort of atmosphere we get. And they always ask about the lifestyle, but it's great. You know, it's very similar to living any sort of dream that you wanted to when you were a kid. So I'm glad that I'm part of the BBL when it's starting to get bigger. You know, the exposure, there's a team in Europe now, you know. So it is really coming leaps and bounds from when I first got here. So it's good to be a part of it.
So tell me about how that works, like the EuroLeague, and I think there was an English team in the EuroLeague or the Cup, but I've never been able to quite, I'm a bit embarrassed to say, I don't actually quite know how it works. So tell me how that whole EuroLeague thing works.
Yeah, so there's different, there's EuroLeague and there's EuroCup, there's all different ones. I think there's three that you can play in that are sort of Europe, where you travel, you know, obviously into different countries. So with that, I believe that you have to meet criteria. So I think Leicester, they were the team that were in it, and I think they must have had to finish the top of the league and then nominate. You have to be able to to show that you can play in a venue that's suitable to the league. So they've got to tick all these boxes. And Leicester have just built their own arena, their new arena. So obviously they ticked the box there. So they played this year and they did well. They were competitive in games. They didn't get to win any, unfortunately, but I think they showed signs that, you know, British basketball can compete against those different European clubs.
Oh, no, I've just quickly looked at my papers. One name I forgot to bring up. When you were at the Melbourne Tigers, you played with a guy by the name of Lucas Walker. Still hanging around the NBL with Cairns last year and kind of still chasing a bit of a team now. What was he like as a player and as a guy?
Yeah, he was a character. He's very funny. He's a good teammate, really good. He sort of takes the seriousness away from it when it's, you know, he's got that joking personality where I feel he would get along with everyone. I've sort of followed him. I played against him, obviously, in the QBL for a season. He's had a great career with keeps getting NBL jobs, so I hope he finds his feet and someone really appreciates him.
That's the other thing I was going to ask. With the NBL and the BBL, is there kind of two schools where you've got kind of imports and locals? Is there a bit of sort of, I don't want to say resentment, but certainly rivalry or a difference in the way they do things? You know, have you ever kind of had that culture clash with anyone like that?
Not really. It depends who you get, because I suppose if you get the imports that are sort of just out of college, they don't really know what to expect, so there's more of a... like that, and I don't know if there's a resentment or anything with the other guys, but it's just constant competition. But when you recruit the guys that are sort of older and experienced, then I guess the local guys, the younger guys, know that these guys have been brought in to do a job, and their mentality is a bit different. So I think obviously with that, you get the teams with a little bit more money will get more of a veteran sort of import, which would result in more success.
Who in your mind is your hardest matchup? Is there anyone you've got circled in your calendar in the BBL who you're like really excited to go at? Or was McLeod last night for Bristol, was he one of them?
Yeah, I mean, I think from Newcastle, there's a guy called Ramon Fletcher. He's another point guard, like a small lefty point guard. He's a previous, I think he was a two-time MVP. So he's played for Newcastle for a few years. And he's just fantastic. He's quick. He can shoot it a bit. He's faster. No, he's an import, but he's in my position, so I've got to go up against him. So whenever you play him, you want to try and limit him as much as you can, but you also want to try and have a good game against him.
Lefties, always tough.
That's it, yeah, they are.
Push him right, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
You had a year with the Czech Phoenix?
I did, yeah. I broke my foot, so I had about 4 months with them. So.
And then there was another team on here. SC Itzehoe. That's the German team you were talking about.
Yeah, Itzehoe. That was last season, so that was... Pro B in Germany.
And what's the difference in style and play between Pro League in Germany and the BBL?
With that, they have different import rules as well. So you can have as many European guys as you want. And I think you can have one import, so like an American. But you can only play two of those guys on the court at the same time. So with us, we had two EU guys and one import, but we would have to sub each other on and off. So it becomes a little bit weird, because if the other import's there, you know, you know one of the two are sort of subbing off. And even with the jerseys, like if you're a local player, so like over here it will be the British guys, over there they have a little LP on their jersey.
No way.
And then the imports have nothing. So like it's like a little black square with LP in it, and then the imports will just have nothing on their jersey. So it's sort of like we stand out before we even do anything. Yeah.
Wow. And what's the German game like? The BBL. Let's say, like, in comparison to the NBL. Like, the NBL is this, BBL is it a bit tougher, is it a bit slower, and then what's the German league?
Yeah, I think, obviously, with the BBL, it's with more imports, it becomes a bit more Americanized, a bit up and down, way more athletes. And in Germany, it's a little bit more structured, it's a bit slowed down, it's sort of more... it's not so much up and down, but it's very, very much half court games is where, you know, the game's won or lost. So it's, for someone like me, it was really fun, because as I said and as everyone knows, I'm not super athletic, but I can sort of pick apart the half court defenses. So I had a pretty good year last year.
And when you say slower, do you mean like throw it down low into the big guy type slow, or still some pick and roll action in the half court?
Very much pick and roll still. but it's more just scoring off back cuts or scoring off different looks or flare picks. It's just all the little minor details that you really wouldn't get if you're just playing up and down and with one pick and roll. You know, it's more like, let's get all the way through different actions on different sets and see if we can get a good shot rather than like just up and down and try and dunk on someone.
All right, Josh, well, thanks very much. I appreciate the time. I just got one last question for you. Do a lot of travel with the team. Do you read much? Are you into books or anything? What, you got anything you're reading at the minute?
I'm a big book reader, but I read more sort of the murder novels, little detective novels, so I'm big into that. But at the moment, it's just Netflix everything. So I just download hours and hours of Netflix and hope that my iPad doesn't run out by the time we get home.
What are you looking at?
Yeah, watched all that. I'm on to season 2 of The Punisher, so I've got to get through that on the Glasgow trip coming up this week.
So I'm mad for basketball, biography, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's not so much a joke.
No. I mean, if you've got any good ones, hit me up. But for now, I'm just sticking to what I know.
Josh, fair enough. Well, good luck at Asda. And travel safe.
Yeah, thanks.
Good luck the rest of the way. And I'll be mentioning it and hope that people watch in Australia because it's a fun product, right?
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, mate. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it.
Great. See you, bye. Bye.